So I wanted to be a priest because I wanted souls to be saved. I memorized what the Pope said. If you remember back, if you're old enough to remember back to the war days and Pius XII, he wrote a famous encyclical called Mystici Corporis, the Body of Christ. And he said to sacrifice and to pray so that souls could be saved, because that's what the Pope said. And that he was the one who compiled it. That's the catechism. Did you want to know about Catholic traditions?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Catholic traditions go back at different times. Some of the traditions go back to the Greek and Latin fathers. There's 35 volumes. I have them, a shelf of 35 volumes back in my library. And written originally in Latin and in Greek. And they're really interesting because many of those early believers really believed in salvation by grace through faith, and we could identify with them. But you have the beginnings of Catholicism way back there. Some of them begin to go astray on different things and seeing the authority of the bishop, like Ignatius, and people quite early on, we find people going astray. And we get Catholics quoting little bits of tradition from some of the Greek and Latin fathers. It wasn't common, but we get some of Catholic traditions going back to the Greek and Latin fathers. And so that's where the earliest traditions, some of them, come from. And then we have the different councils and decrees of the Catholic Church, the Lateran Council, and the different councils that were held in the Catholic Church, and then the famous Trent just after the Reformation in the 16th century. That's probably the most famous. That's where Catholicism put a curse on the gospel. If anyone believes that you're saved, you know, by grace through faith, if you believe you are eternally damned, that they put an official curse on what we call the gospel. And that's where Catholicism, first of all, actually in writing condemned the gospel. Now, it had beforehand in practice, and in many of the Lateran Council and the traditions, they had in different ways denied the gospel, but it was absolutely crystal clear at the Council of Trent. We had different councils coming up to the Vatican Council in the 1962 to 1965. I was actually there in Rome when it was still continuing. They were the that's where the different traditions came from. We had different traditions actually changing. They used to condemn Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism until Vatican II. Now they accept them. So that was a new tradition. The Catholic Church never had that before until the Vatican. You know, so some traditions are new. They still are a sacramental church, and those things have gone consistently for many centuries. But they have brought in new things, and particularly Vatican Council too. That's just a very quick overview. It's a huge subject.
I know you have some resources out.
By the way, I should mention, I have been studying history, and I've studied particularly the 605 years of the Inquisition, where the Catholic Church came against believers, tortured them, and put them to death for 605 years. And what happened in the 20th century under Pavelic in the Second World War in Croatia, because Croatia is like my own Ireland, I'm European, and I can identify with the Croats. They had their military like we had the IRA. They're very similar. The Ustashi are the similar. It's the same background as myself. And when I see the devastation that went on in Croatia, you know, in Europe, in the 20th century, and what went on for 600 years, it's unbelievable. The murder, the torture. And I put together a video, a DVD. It's as professional as you can get. We show the actual instruments of torture, the physical instruments. We got pictures from Europe. We show what they are. Some of them I didn't show because they're too horrific. I just couldn't show them. But most of them I show. And then I showed dramatization of somebody who burnt at the stake and the different tortures the Catholics went through. And it's one of the more fascinating historical DVDs that I've ever seen, even though I was part of making it. It's as professional as you can get. We have it tonight and it's quite cheap for a DVD, and you can make copies of it freely. We don't do it to, we do it to, so to distribute. And if you don't want to buy it, you can see it online. Go put in Brian Beacon on YouTube or GodTube or Google and you'll find it. It's there too.
Wow. Yeah. Another question was, why does the Catholic Bible, I believe also the Orthodox Bible, contain the Apocrypha? I mentioned that briefly last week, a little bit about the Apocrypha, but other Bibles do not contain the Apocrypha. Can you explain that?
Yeah, because they need these books to justify their traditions, like in the wisdom book, that man is good in his own heart, that there's goodness inside the heart. So you need to quote from the Book of Wisdom. You need Maccabees chapter 12, but it's a holy and a wholesome thought to pray for the dead that they may be loosed from their sins. That was the first part of the Bible I memorized. It wasn't the Bible, it was the Apocrypha when I was in Jesuit school. It's a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the sins. So I used to pray for souls in purgatory, you know, because I thought the Bible said it. It was the Apocrypha said it. The Book of Tobit is another famous one, which is really weird. The happenings in that are totally strange, and it's like walking on a minefield, you know, when they call it the Word of God. It's strange. And the additions to the Book of Daniel, like Susanna, is like an X-rated movie that should never have been written. It's strange. Bell and the Dragon, also a chapter added to the Book of Daniel. The Book of Daniel is a glorious book. And when you find these additional chapters, you say, man, how did these get in here, you know? Mm-hmm. They came in the intertestamental period like the other. They were not in the original Jewish Bible. They were never accepted by the Jews. They were never accepted by the believers. The only one who struggled over was Jerome, but for all the early church, nobody accepted. It was at the time of the Reformation that the Catholic Church wanted them, and they said that they were part of the Bible. So that's just a quick overview.
Yeah. Some of you might have been watching our blogs, the upcoming Catholic class. If you go on our website, look at pastors' blogs, we have quite a bit of activity on this particular topic. And there was a comment or a statement made about how Jesus instituted the Catholic Church. So that was the question, is did Jesus institute?
Yeah. The Catholic Church did not come about in Jesus' time. You know, so it was even in the 7th century, Gregory the First, the famous Gregory, is called Gregory the Great, he said if anybody calls himself bishop of the whole church, he's the Antichrist. You know, he would not accept that there was one bishop over all bishops, and that's even in the 7th century. You know, so way into the 7th century, we don't have the Catholic Church as such, you know, that where one bishop is claiming to be over all bishops. It came later, you know. It was actually in the 8th century that for the first time they claimed to be the vicar of Christ, and they claimed to have what we would now call the Catholic Church was really claiming the distinctive features that they are over all churches, and that they take the place of Christ on earth, and that the Bishop of Rome takes the place of Christ on earth, and things like that. That was the first time. That was in the 8th century. So the Catholic Church was not really instituted, and it did not get established until like Justinian, Phocas, another famous emperors of the Roman Empire recognized Catholicism. It was civilly accepted by the Roman emperors who were living in the East at the time, but they recognized the Bishop of Rome in the West. And so Catholicism was not established, of course, at Christ's time, and it wasn't. Its traditions grew, and what the Catholic claims were not really nailed down to the 8th century.
So Peter wasn't the first pope, as many believe.
Peter never went to Rome. We have no account of him ever even being in Rome, let alone Pope of Rome. So if you study your Bible, Paul writes to the Church of Rome, never mentions Peter. He writes from Rome, he never mentions Peter. If Peter did go to Rome, he would have gone as a visiting apostle, because there was Linus and Anacletus, who were the first elders that we know of, you know, historically in Rome, but we do not have any record in the Bible. It's solely a tradition, and it's a late tradition in the Catholic Church. So we don't have any. It's fairly well. It's Eusebius's time when the tradition starts. So it's only a tradition in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Peter never went to Rome, and if he did go to Rome, it was as an apostle, not as a. And there were home churches at the beginning, and Paul spoke so highly of the faith of the believers in Rome. It wasn't churches like we know, big buildings. They were home churches, and there was different pastors in different places. Mm-hmm. Now, later on, one pastor does become predominant, you know, as time goes on, and the embryo of Catholicism begins. But mm-hmm. not back at that time. There wasn't one church. There was different home churches. I have an article on this on our webpage, and I have also some videos that I've made on this.
Mm-hmm. So. What did Christ mean when he told Peter that he was going to build his church on Peter?
Well, he commended Peter, you know, for his, he said, and you are, because Peter had said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he commended him for that, because he said that Christ was the Son of the living God. You know, he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's what the faith was. That's the rock. That's the way, that's what the church is built on. Later on in the same chapter, he says, get behind me, Satan. He wouldn't go to build his church on Satan, you know. I mean, a few sentences later on, you'll see that he calls Peter Satan, you know, in the same chapter. You know, he was commending him on his faith. And we have 48, I told you about the Greek and Latin fathers, 48 of the most learned and well-established early believers who wrote on that commentaries. And we have a link to it on our webpage on this very topic. And I urge you to go to christiantruth.com. It's easy to remember, just christiantruth.com. William Webster, who studies the history of the church and the Greek and Latin fathers, give 48 of the early believers all believed and interpreted scripture as it is, that the rock is Christ. You know, and it's not only in scripture, but it was a distinctive tradition in the early church. William Webster has written a real important book called Roman Catholicism at the Bar of History, showing that the Catholic Church is not only not true to Scripture, it's not true to tradition. You can judge it on the early traditions, obliterate their claim. If you really study the early fathers, you will see that they, for the most part, were really true believers.
Okay. This is one I think a lot of people are just curious about, and that is, this is a question, does Mary actually appear to people? You see
good question.
You see the potato chips or the toast or the building.
I know.
You guys know what I'm talking about. Okay, you're with me.
I have been in Yakima and in Washington State, and I was up there one time, and there's supposed to be some big billboard where she had appeared. You know, I mean, it goes on and on and on, but. They say that Mary appears in different places, and in particularly the three places in the States that I mentioned, Lubbock, Texas, Denver, Colorado, and in Conyers, Atlanta. They're the three famous places. But besides that, there's many other places in the States. Mary does not appear, the biblical Mary, but things happen. These are strange places. And if you go to them, they are. I ask if you go there that you really pray for protection, because they're strange, and I'm convinced that they are demonic, and they're quite strange. We have on our book table, and we've been privileged to get some books where you cannot buy in Christian bookstores. We have Quite Contrary by Tim Kaufman, and we have Graven Bread, two books by him. He's a NASA physicist, but he is a devout Catholic. He was into the apparitions, and he got convicted and saved. And he wrote two books, and man, does he explain it. He really explains the exact words mm-hmm. and the happenings. Tim Kaufman's books. If you can't get them here, I urge you to get them. We have a catalogue. You can write to us and get them. Or it's really strange what goes on. The signs and wonders, the lying signs and wonders, it's really strange. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Catholics are deep into this stuff. It's strange, and I think it's real, and it's all the signs of the demonic. Mm-hmm. I hate to say this thing, but you asked me, so it put me on the spot.
Well, it was. I think a lot of yeah, better you than me. Yeah. I gotta be here next week. You get to go home tomorrow. I think that's a. I know in the Bible that it talks about how there will be miraculous signs in the end times, and also how some of these signs will. I mean, some of the there can actually be miracles. People can really be healed through different things, but they're not necessarily from God.
Yes, yes.
The Bible warns us about that.
Yeah, it warns about that in Second Thessalonians, and I have quoted from Second Thessalonians, and like in that last DVD that's on our webpage at the moment, I quote from, mm-hmm. and I try to do it delicately, but it's quite difficult.
I think you mentioned this earlier, but the Pope being referred to as Holy Father, when did that begin, and has that always been
that's a later tradition. It's really sad because it's not simply that Christ said, call no one your father on earth. You know, in a spiritual sense, we call our earthly father daddy or papa or father, but we're to call nobody in a spiritual sense father. It's not only sad that this utterly breaks Christ's commandment, but Christ himself, in his great prayer the night before he died, talked about Holy Father, Righteous Father. He called the Father in heaven the Holy Father. And that anybody could dare call a man by the name of God in heaven that Christ called his Father, it's unbelievable. But that's, you know, it was a late tradition in the Catholic Church. They also call him His Holiness. I wouldn't meet the Pope as he came to Trinidad just the year I left the Catholic priesthood. I wouldn't call him His Holiness. I just couldn't. And when I met that bishop in Trinidad too, you know, the one who took me because I spoke about the Bible authority, I was supposed to call him Your Grace. And I just said, Bishop.
Wow.
He did not like it. He did not like it.
Yeah. And then he went to Canada the next day, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Richard, I know that you have a lot of resources, a lot of materials, and also many people do ask you a lot of questions. You get questions like thousands and thousands of questions.
Yeah.
I'm going to put your website on the screen here. It's also in your manual. It's brianbeacon.org. And they can reach you through this, ask questions. You have a team of people
who
help answer a lot of the frequently asked questions. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. I have people who help answer because I can't answer them all, but you will be answered. We still personally answer everybody, you know. And so nobody is gone unanswered. And I say to my wife and those of us, the day we cannot be personal, we'll stop. You know, we are here to reach out personally to people. And we really try to have people at heart. We pray that we may love Catholic people and we may reach out in love. And that the day that we cannot reach out in love or be personal, well, it's the day we should stop.
You also have a couple of books that you brought with you. You want to talk a little bit about your books? And this also, Richard has a lot of resources, articles that he's written, DVDs, tapes, and as well as many, many books. So these are two of...
Yeah, I didn't have time to bring other DVDs. I only brought the Inquisition one, which I think is the best one. But we have many, many DVDs and videos, and the testimonies of the former Catholics are precious. They're just glorious. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see some of them on we have about 40 of them on online. You can see them. But we have a catalogue, and you can buy the catalogue out there. It's the same price. We do not do it for a fee, you know what I mean? And if you don't have the money, just say it and we'll send it to you anyhow. You know? So if there's a catalogue on the table, ask Cindy or Bob and they'll give you a catalogue and we'll send you these. This book here was my first book ever published, Far From Rome, Near to God. That's what Catholics used to say to me in Trinidad, they'd say, far from Rome, far from the church and near to God. And I used to tell them, you know, don't say that, not knowing that one day I would put it as a title to a book, you know, far from Rome, near to God. It was what Catholics used to say to me in Trinidad when they, you know, were looking to be closer to God. It wasn't the church. It was far from the church and near to God. That's the title of the book. This book has gone to thousands upon thousands and thousands of copies in many languages. It's 50 priests in recent times. There's nobody here that's not born before the 20th century. And it's glorious to read how God saved them. It's just wonderful. We're going to do a third edition. There's more recent ones. I had a lovely privilege of talking to Tom Leland, the priest, today, and I was telling him of some of the other priests we'll be putting in the next edition. It's just wonderful to see more and more priests come to the Lord. This is a book that I've done recently called Catholicism East of Eden. It's written in love and in personal reaching out. It's as gracious, I think, as you can be, and it's as clear as you could be. I thank God that this book has been used of God. We have it here for $12. I think it's on Amazon. It's $16.95 plus shipping, you know, so you get it here tonight really at a really good price. We have another one called The Truth Set Us Free, 20 former nuns tell their stories. Most of those are American nuns, recent times. They're still alive and well, with the exception of one who has died. They're just heartwarming to see these precious, usually American nuns coming to the Lord. It's just glorious. And the other books there on Catholicism, I just ask you to read, and that these resources are here for you. And we went to a lot of trouble to get them here, so I pray that you would make use of them, or at least pick up the catalog.
Right. I think it's just a perfect opportunity to take advantage of your research and studies, as well as many others. And these are great resources for us, because I know there's been a lot of confusion just about, you know, the Catholic beliefs.
Yes, this book here has been reviewed by Ian Murray, who's a famous man in England. You might know him. He's fairly well known, and has been influenced by Peter Marshall, where he preaches where Spurgeon had preached in Metropolitan Tabernacle. And they all emphasize the chapter where I talk about the false evangelicals. And I think we've got to see that not all churches are like Cedar Creek. Not all talk about Christ saving gloriously. You know, there's a lot of false evangelicalism out there. And I write about that in this as well. So there's some difficult chapters here to read, and it's not about Catholicism. It's about those who have aligned themselves with Catholicism. And so it's really up to date with what's happening in the world. And so it'll really keep you up to date in that book.
Great.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, again, thank you so much for your presentation tonight. Very, very good. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm just going to close with a word of prayer, then we'll...
I don't know if I'm asking too much, but I really sense the Spirit of God here. If there might be some few people wanted to stay on and ask a few more questions.
We'll be down here in front.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yep. I wouldn't feel that, you know, if there's somebody here who's bubbling up and wants to say something that...
Sure. Would you mind closing with some prayer?
I would,
please?
Yeah.
Thank
let's
you.
Pray. Father, we come before you as the all-holy God, the all-righteous one, the all-holy one. How can we ever even come into your presence, knowing that you are all righteous, all holy, and that your face hates evil and all that's sin? But Father, we come clothed in the righteousness of Christ, trusting him alone. We come into your presence having been justified freely by his grace. We come because we are accepted in the Beloved. We come in his glorious salvation. And all holy Father, we dare call you Abba Father, Papa God, because so close is the relationship with you that we can call you Papa God, Abba Father. Father God, we pray that you would touch the hearts of precious Catholics who have listened to this message or will listen to it. Those here tonight in pain, that you would just touch their hearts and open their eyes to see the glorious salvation that is in Christ alone. Father, do an extraordinary work of grace, just as Christ Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. We pray that by the command of God, men and women will be born again and trust in Christ and know that eternal salvation that is in you. Father, more than answer our prayer, as we pray in his righteousness and in him who is glorified and filled with the Spirit. And we thank you in the words of the Apostle Paul that you answer our prayer immeasurably more than we could ask, imagine, or desire. And we give you the praise, the glory, the worship, and the honor. In Jesus' glorious name, amen. Amen.
Thank you all for coming out. Next week, we'll see you our final session next week. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise God.